RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from August 1935. The Pharaoh's Mark, the 30th adventure of the Phantom Detective, Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace, read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. A specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Pharaoh's Mark. Chapter 1. Blood from a Mummy. In broad daylight, the Egyptian room of the Central Museum was a grim, silent place where visitors walked lightly, lest they disturb the long dead. The wrinkled, blue-black faces of mummies, encased in glass, looked out upon the world with ageless remoteness. But at an hour nearing midnight, when the Egyptian room, as well as the entire museum, was locked up and shrouded with darkness, the place took on an even more sinister and eerie gloom. Off the Egyptian room was a small white-tiled laboratory where mummies and their elaborately carved cases were examined before being placed on display. It was there that countless mysteries of the 5,000-year-old Egyptians had been tirelessly studied and revealed. Jack Arnold, young assistant to the Egyptologist in charge, shuddered just a little. He was watching Dr. Arthur Temple work, and, to the younger man's senses, it seemed that the doctor was robbing the grave of its ancient dead. There was a pine box, exactly similar to the outer box of a coffin, lying beneath a bright light. Dr. Temple was kneeling beside it, chisel in hand. He slid the tool beneath the boards and pried up on them. In 5 minutes, a brilliant, exquisitely carved sarcophagus was in full view under the strong light. Jack Arnold shivered again.
I don't think you'll need me any longer, Doctor, he said, if you don't mind.
Dr. Temple looked up and frowned.
You're like the rest of them, Arnold. I even had to help carry this mummy case from the ship myself. No one would touch it. This nonsense about the mummy's curse is silly. What if two men did die in Egypt when they excavated this one? What if a man did vanish from the ship that brought it to New York? Those things happen when they dig up, well, anything. Diamonds, gold, coal. They were simply industrial accidents. I thought you wouldn't be affected by those senseless stories. Look here. This mummy is that of Artemis II. He has been dead almost 5,000 years. How in the world can such a thing harm you?
Well, Jack Arnold wasn't convinced.
It's not that, Dr. Temple. I really don't feel as though you need me. Flanagan has orders not to patrol the Egyptian room tonight until after 1 o'clock, and you won't be disturbed.
I'd rather look the mummy over in daylight.
Dr. Temple snorted something unintelligible and returned to his work. Jack Arnold, taking advantage of Temple's interest in the mummy case, grunted and left through the door. The Egyptologist pulled Excelsior away and flung it carelessly about the laboratory. When he had uncovered the mummy case completely, his attention was riveted upon a scarab carved at the head of the case. It was an elaborate and clever reproduction of the beetle worshipped by Egyptians thousands of years ago. Below this carving were hieroglyphics cut into the wood. Temple studied them closely and stroked his short Van Dyke.